administration led by Commissioner Alfred, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, which would be led by Commissioner Arnold, if you'll stand with me.
If you don't mind, would you please bow your heads? Lord, we come before you asking that your divine wisdom be restored in each and every member of this court, not only this court, in each and every member of our community that are positioning themselves to be in leadership. Lord, we ask that you put your loving arms around those military families that have those loved ones away fighting wars for this great country. Lord, we ask these blessings in your name, your darling son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we approach the Independence Day holiday, let's keep in our memories why we pledge to our flag and our great nation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see Judge Stevens.
Okay.
Well, I will begin the agenda items today under item A under purchasing. Consider and approve, execute, receive, and file contract lease of the Jefferson County Downtown Jail with LaSalle. Item B is to consider and possibly approve, execute, receive, and file a renewal for an invitation for bids term contract for emergency disaster assistance recovery with Crowder Gulf. The renewal period is August 2nd, 2011 to August 1st, 2012. Likewise, item C is a renewal of an emergency disaster assistance recovery contract for that same time period with DRC Emergency Services. Item D is considering possibly approved disposition of salvage property as authorized by Local Government Code 263.152A4 by donating it to a charitable organization. In this good case, it's Goodwill Computer Depot. I have a motion on those items.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Arnold and seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Is there any discussion on those items?
Judge, I'd just like to thank Sheriff Woods and his staff for their efforts on this lease of downtown jail and moving that forward and all the input and data that you collected.
Appreciate that. We've got some representatives from LaSalle Southwest Corrections with us here today. They were very interested in watching the approval of this thing. The first person I'd like to introduce is going to be our warden at the jail downtown. Deidre, would you stand up, please? Deidre Leday, she'll be our warden down here. And all these folks come to us with a tremendous amount of experience in the prison field. And Mr. Bob Prince with LaSalle is here. Bob, can you come up and introduce the folks that are with you? We've been working together over the last few months trying to get this thing put together, and we're real excited about where it's going to go and the job opportunities that it's going to create. We've been getting a lot of applications in and a lot of them out, and I've got another stack for them today that's come in, so I think it's going to come for us at a good time. There's been a lot of interest from our TYC folks out there. That facility, as you well know, is going to be closing, so I'm kind of excited about that opportunity for them too.
Sheriff, did we, by any chance, there was some former employees with the service that we had, did we get the information to those guys also?
We have those. Any of them, we'll be interested in anybody right now, but there's been a tremendous amount of interest so far. We've got those applications, Commissioner, over at our office in the lobby there for anybody that's interested in them.
All right, great.
Thank you. I'm Bob Prince. I'm in the marketing business development with LaSalle Southwest. My background is in law enforcement. I retired as a captain of the Texas Rangers, and that's when I first got to know Sheriff Wood. I was stationed in Houston as part of my assignment and had the opportunity to work with him for several years when he was with the DA's office. And Haskell Taylor, you may know, was our ranger down here. And spent a lot of time in and around here, and really look forward and excited about the opportunity to continue here. Might introduce folks with me. Chris Bale is a retired TDC warden, and he's now what we consider the senior warden for our company. He doesn't have a facility, but he's a supervisor for the wardens that we have and helps take care of any type of problem that we have, assist the wardens. And Dietrich Lacey, Dietrich is a former TDC warden, retired very, very recently, as a long-time warden TDC, her husband warden, and really comes to us with very high recommendations. And next we have Gary Brown. You may all know Gary. Gary, less than a month ago, retired as U.S. Marshal for the Eastern District. Gary and I have worked together for many years when he was supervisor in El Paso and an assistant chief deputy of the Marshal Service in Western District, and then and became chief deputy in Eastern District, and then Marshal, been Marshal the last 2.5 years. He retired and went, came to work with us yesterday. We're very glad to have him aboard. But just want to thank you for your confidence in us. We certainly want to do a job that 6 months or a year from now, you say that you can say we're really glad we linked up with LaSalle Southwest. I know you don't know our company, but I can assure you that there's not a company that has any more credibility or higher moral and ethic standards than leadership in our company. It's a family-owned business. It's a small company. We probably have, this school makes about 8,000 beds in Texas and Louisiana, and it's family-owned, not a public company. It's owned by two brother-in-laws, it's very much a pleasure to work with that family, plus their extended family. They're involved in it. They have quite a large number of businesses that they operate. They have a trucking business, construction company, housing unit, and then plus the correction business. Any question that you have concerning our company or about any of our personnel, I'd love to answer for you.
Well, I want to welcome you guys to Jefferson County, even though it's a bitter pill, but it's a necessary pill. I want to say thank you to Sheriff Woods for his concern about those TWC workers, TYC workers, I apologize. But I want to thank y'all for showing interest in Jefferson County, and anything I can do from this seat, I'll be glad to do it if I can. And as Commissioner Alford said, I've received several calls. Apparently the rumor mill is already out about you guys coming to town, and some of the previous employees that were laid off because of the last jail have been burning my phone up. So, you know, within their qualifications, I'd appreciate it also, along with those TYC workers. So welcome to Jefferson County, and anything I can do, I'll try and get y'all my contact number. And
thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll be sure and leave you each one of your business card and a brochure that tells about our company and about our personnel.
Yes, question, sir. When do y'all expect to start actually occupying the beds, and what is your initial ramp-up schedule and type of prisoners that will be located in the jail?
We would like to be activated in at least 60 days, 60 to 90 days, hopefully at least 60 days, which we'll need to hire the staff, make sure the staff is trained, certified, and I think probably we'll be able to get the bulk, if not all of our staff that are already certified. But Warden Lacey will begin those interviews right away. She goes on the payroll tomorrow. We'll be waiting until we got the contract signed. Right now, the prisoners that we are sure of is U.S. Marshal prisoners out of the Beaumont office. And we couldn't market it until we got it. We can't really officially marketed until today. We have talked to different agencies, but we couldn't progressively market until we knew it. So, but we will be, I'll be in constant contact with Sheriff and the Chief, and certainly be happy to visit with any of y'all our progress on anything. But we know we'll get initially about 100 federal inmates initially.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Prince.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Under County Commissioners, we will table item A. Item B is to receive and file executed movie book tour agreement with CGI Communications, Inc. Item C is to receive and file executed memorandum of understanding between Jefferson County and the American Red Cross. Item D I'd like to take separately. Item E is to consider and possibly adopt a resolution recognizing Renee Lewis for her years of dedicated service as criminal district court coordinator and to the citizens of Jefferson County, and wishing her well in her retirement. I don't see Ms. Lewis here today, and I... Item F is to receive and file a certification for Judge Nancy Beaulieu showing completion of 80 hours of judicial education as required by the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals. Item G is to consider and possibly approve a resolution of the Jefferson County the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County approving the action of the Jefferson County Industrial Development Corporation approving a second supplemental trust indenture and security agreement relating to the remarketing of its Hurricane Ike disaster area revenue bonds for the Jefferson Refinery Series 2010. Item H is to appoint a committee to calculate final abatement percentages for the Golden Pass LNG project in accordance with the agreement. Item I I'd like to take separately. And the only thing, I'm going to need a motion, but I'm also going to need on that item H the names of committee members. I, of course, would suggest Mr. Swain, who does 99% of the work on those calculations in any event.
Judge, I would make the motion, and I would make a motion that we use Mr. Swain and Mr. Rugg or his designee because they do quite a bit of that for us. That would be my recommendation.
Good. I've got the motion from Commissioner Alfred on those items B, C, E, F, G, and H with Mr. Swain and Mr. Rugg on H. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it unanimously. Okay, we'll go back now and do item D, consider ratifying the actions of the county judge in issuing a disaster declaration and entering an order prohibiting all outdoor burning and the sale or use of all fireworks. Do I have a motion on that item?
Move.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Is there any discussion? Mr. Daughtry?
Yes, sir. I'm Joe Daughtry. I've got a business at 2565 North Twin City Highway in Nederland. And I understand we've been working on this for a while as far as the rain and the situation we're in and everything. And there's just some things I'd like to ask and go over a little bit if I could. When we first started this, we did come and we asked y'all to, if y'all could hold off and not get in a hurry to do this because of the amount of people it affected and the things that we were involved in. We met, and I do thank y'all for that also, and we do, as far as being able to meet with us and talk to us to try and prolong it to where we could get some things to change. And early on, we talked about doing some things if it wasn't quite before it got into the 700s. We talked about doing maybe some flyers, passing out some things if we were to open to be able to educate the public, and I believe there was some interest in wanting to do something like that if it wasn't quite like it may be normally in a normal season. So we presented some of that and got it back to you, and hadn't heard any more about that, but I know that things went into the 700s. We did a disaster declaration. I understand that in them numbers and going up to them numbers, we constantly were being told that we needed rain, that it was dry and we needed rain, and then we got up in 700s. We understood when we got up in there, and then we were told still we needed rain and that we could rescind it if we needed to. We got rain. I understand it wasn't 4 or 5 inches. We're not going to fix the drought. I don't see where what we're looking to do is a measure to try and fix the drought. That could take years to be able to replenish the losses that we have, but it doesn't put the moisture back in the ground. Everything we've always done is use the KBDI numbers to be able to determine moisture in the ground and range of where we need to sell and use fireworks. We've done that for quite a few years, and there's a number of years, 05 and 09, that the numbers are roughly the same of where we are now. We went from 732 back down to 607. We're creeping back up as we will until we get some more rain. In doing that, we're in the range of where we have been in a few other years. So the grass has turned green. There's moisture in the grass. I've had to cut the grass twice already since the rain. You maybe think I'm exaggerating, but that's true. But prior to that, I hadn't cut it once all year. And so these are the things we look for with the KBDI. So then whenever we get the rain, we understand, well, we're not sure whether it's going to hold up, and the numbers may go up again to the 700s. I understood that in the paper it come out that we had a 100-hour rule that we had to check on and see if we're not going to go back up. I've never heard of a 100-hour rule. I called Tom Spencer at the Forestry Service, and he didn't know what I was talking about. So I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying I've never heard of it in the business since as long as I've been doing this. But my understanding is it could go back up, and I'm not saying it won't, but we waited for that. It didn't go up. So we've done everything that we've been asked to do. We prayed for rain. We got rain. The rain come. The fires, to my knowledge, have curbed way down in other parts of all around Southeast Texas, as far as I know. I could be wrong, but I wasn't able to find them. And we're in numbers that we've been before, and it doesn't look like we would be out of them numbers even if we were to sail through the fort. So because of that, we were just in trying to be able to get back and some part of a season. We've given up part of the season. We've done what we felt like we needed to do. And at one point with a KBDI number, it was mentioned that in the paper that we would never do the declaration of disaster unless it was on the 23rd at the last minute. We had to do it earlier for whatever reason. We had the KBDI number of 700 was thrown out there. It's been thrown out there by a number of different places and a number of different towns as being used as a number, as long as it doesn't get over that. We're well below that. We went down to 607, and then we've come back now to where we're up at a number of today of 641. Now, I understand that we're creeping back up, but we got rain in the forecast. I know it's not a lot of rain. We didn't have a lot of rain the last time. Everybody said we didn't have a chance to get any rain. We had rain in the forecast also to keep the moisture down, and it doesn't take much. All we're trying to do is keep it down, and I just was wanting to see if there was any way we could get something to the point to where we can let us be able to, now that we're, I don't know where we go with this. I don't know where we go in the future with this, because we're in the range of where we normally are now. And I understand we've had been in the driest and the worst drought we've ever been in Southeast Texas. We do understand that. And I understand it's going to take a while to get out of that. But as far as putting moisture in the ground to the point to where we can alleviate with the chance of having fires and problems with fireworks, fireworks are set as a KBI number and have been set at state level and in past to do that for a reason. They don't sit on the ground and burn. We've already got rid of sticks and fins. Y'all have already done that. Sticks and fins, as we talked about, are the things that cause the majority of the fires with fireworks if they're started. Here I've heard them talk about house fires. House fires in the past have been started by the misuse of these sticks and fins, and parts of that is, the majority of it has been pop rockets, bottle rockets. Everybody mentions, even in the paper today, still they talk about a bottle rocket can burn a house down. We've sold bottle rockets since the late 70s. They're illegal in the state. They're not illegal to shoot. They're illegal to possess. So are pop rockets. We've taken them out of the equations in 05. We took the pop rocket out. We took it up to a 26-inch rocket. So these items, we've also prohibited it in the KBDI. I'm sorry, in the drought bill pertaining to fireworks, to regulate fireworks, in our drought bill, we have it 575 to prohibit these rockets in the event they were to be out and maybe start some type of fire because of maybe high grass or something like that in an area that's drier than normal. So we've taken them out of the equation. When you take them out of the equation, you cut down on a lot of your fires. Galveston County's open. I don't know of any, there's no other counties right around here, but Galveston County open. They were down there the weekend. I don't know of any problems that they've had down in Galveston County. So we're just here to ask for consideration to be able to give us a few days to be able to continue the season if we're not going to be back up above 700. I understand if we were to get there, we maybe have to look at that, and that's totally out of reach of where we want to go. I don't see it coming anywhere close to that with the numbers that we have. I think that's all I got.
Thank you, Joe. Make sure that they get a copy of this.
We had the motion and a second on the items under purchasing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Those items passed unanimous. Okay. Looked at these 100 times, Mr. Mountain. Go ahead.
Judge, the top one you'll see is a Texas fireworks ban extension by county as of yesterday evening at 1750 hours, and 164 counties out of 254 are in a total fireworks ban. Six counties are still pending, including Bexar County, LaSalle, Wharton, Milam, San Saba, and Schleicher. Everybody in Southeast and East Texas up to a line of Shelby, Nacogdoches, Angelina, Houston, Madison, Brazos, Burleson, on down to the coast, with the exception of Galveston, is currently in a complete fireworks ban. This is the worst drought since 1917. The KBDI numbers, sometimes it goes from a zero level to 800. Where people got focused on everything below 700 safe, I do not know. We are up to 641 with our max KBDI at 700 and our minimum at 553. I talked to Chief Chris Gonzalez, Bevel Oaks Fire Department. I know at my house I got an inch and a half to 2 inches over 3 days. Chris said in the Bevel Oaks area they got a half an inch. At the recommendation of all the fire chiefs, paid and volunteer, they have made it clear of what they wish. I know the financial impact this has on the fireworks distributors, and if I was in their shoes, I would be doing the same exact thing these gentlemen are doing. Right now, 233 counties in the state of Texas are in a burn ban, and approximately 230 plus or above the 575 KBDI index that Mr. Daltrey referred to. We're also in the on the drought severity index in the highest extreme drought level, -4. That's on about page 3 that I provided. And again, page 4 has the number of counties in a burn ban, and our current Keach-Byram drought index showing we are in the 600 to 700 range. And attached behind that is the email that I sent to all the commissioners, all the fire chiefs yesterday on this same topic, as well as the last page, which is the weather.com 14-day forecast, which shows only a chance of isolated showers, and we were up to 50% and 60% chances with the little bit of rain we got last week. We're in the 10 to 20 range on the chances of rain that we have right now. Of course, we could get 3 inches in one day. We all know how the weather is here, but we can only work with the information. I can only provide you with the information you've requested, and that's what you all have in front of you.
Mr. Daltrey, I think I speak for everybody on the court that obviously we'd rather not be in this position, rather not be having to disappoint children that are looking forward to the fireworks, and rather not be visiting financial hardship on anyone for plans they've made for the sale of fireworks during the season. But I think at the end of the day, looking at the information we have, calling every day to the Division of Emergency Management and the Texas Forest Service, talking to the fire chiefs, considering the fires that we have had, and considering the fact that this is the worst dry period that we've had in almost 100 years, that it's an unfortunate consequence that of what an action we've got to take in order to make sure that in all instances public safety is of paramount importance. And fortunately, under the government code, I have the opportunity, should things change dramatically, to rescind the order later in the week. That will depend on the weather, whether or not you're able to capitalize on that opportunity should it occur, because of the timing may be another issue. I think we all deeply regret it, and it's an unfortunate experience, but at the end of the day, I'm going to vote in favor of ratifying the ban because of the conditions as they presently exist. Is there any further discussion?
Joe, I appreciate our dialogue that we've had from the very beginning. I've tried to be open to discussion with you, and I've had much discussion with Mr. Fountain and the county judge in regards to this whole situation, and I'm not going to pretend to know what you're going through, what any of these vendors are going through, because it's not my money, and I understand that. But there are decisions, you know, that county has to make that deal with lives and property and public safety. And unfortunately, some of those decisions overlie other decisions that come into play. I hear what the judge is saying about him, his ability to rescind that, and at a later date, if that were to present itself as an opportunity, I think you said it best earlier. You know, where do we go from here? I mean, what could you even consider at this point? And I kind of, you know, agree with the judge in the fact that, you know, whether or not you could capitalize on it, even if it was rescinded, it, you know, it's already went out, and it's kind of, you know, taking it back. Y'all would have a lot of catching up to do. You know, we can hope for something to happen, but remains to be seen. Judge, yes.
Judge.
I'm Jake Daughtry with Jake's Fireworks in Nederland, Texas, and I appreciate y'all hearing us out and everything. And I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments about the 164 counties that are on this map that have the complete ban. All of these were done before any rain. It was before the Tuesday last week when we had any rain. So all of those don't encompass the KBDI numbers. If the KBDI numbers would have came out and we would have done these, it could have been different that way. I know we talk about a lot with fireworks and fireworks fires caused, and we talk about them like we all know and have seen these happen before. And I've done a lot of work with all the different fire reports, with the U.S. fire reports, the state fire reports, and I think from the information that I've had, fireworks fires in the state of Texas are always, every year, less than 1%. Based on that kind of information, you know, it's just hard to really say that we're the number one problem when it comes down to firework fires and everything. I know that I've gone back and looked, and I've seen a lot in the papers about the structure fires, talking about people's homes being burned down by fireworks and everything, and the statements that people have made. And I've gone back, and I haven't found, for Jefferson County, it's hard for me to find some of that information, but I haven't found in all the reports going back to 2000 for Jefferson County, for a inside Jefferson County, a house being burnt down. I could be wrong, but if y'all have any other information, that I would be great to have just for later purposes. But I know Jefferson County since 2000 has been in the top 20 of counties in the state of Texas that has structure fires, for the amount of structure fires that are in the county per the year. In 8 of those years, Jefferson County's been in the top 10. And with that amount of fires, structure fires, for the state, of the 254 counties being in the top 10, it would, I think, be a pretty big deal if those numbers of fires, with those numbers of fires not having anyone started by firework in these previous years, especially ones in 2005 and 2009, being pretty dry as well. Like I said, we're in the KBDI numbers that we've been in the past, and I don't see the data or the information that would justify some of this stuff, but I appreciate y'all's time and looking at this. I do appreciate y'all actually letting me give y'all some reports, and even though they weren't the best, I'm sure, but I appreciate y'all reading them and being able to just get some of that information to y'all. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Daughtry,
and I want to thank you for giving it. This has been something that this whole court has wrestled with. It is, and like I said before, the judge put it on the agenda. It's not something that we're taking lightly, but, you know, paramount, most important, if it's only one home, if it's only one kid get burned, this court can make a decision to prohibit that. And we against the wall, being honest with you. It's not something that we take lightly, but we have to look at the welfare of the public safety. That's most important. Greg has done his job by making sure he stayed in contact with the fire chiefs around. So we have to look at that data. And we don't have options to a great degree. As much as we do not want to hinder any businessman from from making a living or from stopping him being able to sell or produce. We do not want to do that. But right now, it's one of those things that I don't see we have that many options, be honest with you guys.
Judge, just for clarification, just for information for our vendors, you know, hypothetically, if something were to happen, what is the process of how that has to happen on a rescinding order, as you mentioned?
I just sign the document, rescinding it. The only problem with changing it right now is that I have to go back through the governor's office and all that. But with a rescission, it's just signing an order and filing it with the county clerk's office. It's a very simple process, but
we'll did see. The 60 hours begin last Tuesday, or did it begin today?
It began last Tuesday, but the governor signed the extension within 12 hours, I think. So there's no longer a 60-hour limit here.
So that's not a factor anymore.
No. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That item passes. On item I, we'll hear a presentation from representatives of Energy regarding load management initiatives and consider authorizing county judge to execute a customer agreement in connection therewith. And it may be, since I've read some of the materials that you provided, Mr. Bethea, but don't fully understand everything that they provide for, the consequences it might have for cost on the part of the county and providing fuel for the generator, maybe we may have to table it till next week, but please proceed.
Judge, commissioners, and county staff, two things I'd like to do today is, first of all, I gave you a little project for your long weekend. In those boxes, there are some items that you can start making your home more energy efficient, starting out with that compact fluorescent bulb, weather stripping kits, and things like that. I just want to make sure y'all had plenty of things to do this weekend in case your spouses forgot to plan appropriately. Also, I want you to have those in case you get your next electric bill. You will be prepared for that. Two things we'd like to do today. I'm Sam Bethea. I'm customer service manager in Beaumont for Entergy. Also have the county as one of my managed accounts. Have Terry Swan with me today, who also will be talking with you about this program. He's in our energy efficiency program. What we'd like to do is talk to y'all about a load management program that the company has initiated. This is probably the third year that we've done this, whereby we go out and contract with certain customers who are on our distribution system who have standby generation. And we do a test run with that customer and look at how much load they could take off of the commercial system and put on their generator and do that in case of a load emergency in Southeast Texas. And as our presentation to y'all would be talking specifically about the courthouse, not picking on you because you have a brand new, really pretty generator that's really big and it would really be a good addition to the program. But this program is ask our clients or our customers, our partners, to sign up and give us possibility of using your generator at your discretion. You can, when I say your discretion, if it is a bad time in an emergency, you could not run the generator, we would go on and there would not be a penalty. But we set the program up, we would ask that we would tell you that we would give you 1 hour notice to be prepared to start the generator. After the initial 1 hour test of the generator and the capacity in KW, that y'all could take off of our system and pick up on your generator, we would only ask you to run 4 different times in the summer season at a maximum 4 hours at each occurrence. And during the summer session, for the summer load peak season, the hours that you would be subject to being called upon would be between the hours of 1 and 7 p.m., 1 p.m. and 7 p.m., Monday through Friday, not on holidays or weekends. I understand that basically their generator under load runs about 140 gallons of diesel an hour, and rough, if you use about $4 per gallon, hopefully you get it for less than that, $4 per gallon, 140 gallons in 1 hour test run,
mouth
tells me $560 per hour. But to help offset your expenses for fuel, maintenance, and any standby operator that have to be there, either who might have to stay over past 4:30 or 5 for normal work hours or for that particular maintenance person, the company would pay you a total $40 per kW that you are able to take off our system during the emergency. $15 per kW would be paid after the initial 1 hour test run, if you're interested in doing it. And then at the end of the summer load peak season, based on that, if you ever ran, based on that initial test run, would be paid the other $25 per kW. A total of $40 per kW for your capacity as outlined in that first test run. Now, if you are called upon, I will have to call Terry up here to make sure I'm 100% correct on this, but if you are called upon during the ensuing summer months during the peak season, and you, we would hopefully look at everything that you were able to take off our system, put on your generator, and that would be very close to what you actually ran in the test period. But it would be an average. If you did not give us the whole megawatt, 1,000 kW, and we're less than that, your final payment at the end of the season would be based on average load that you were able to take off. Now, there are, as you have seen, applied to you, there's an executive summary, there's plenty of paperwork and everything else about that. Terry, if you'd like to come up here in case there's questions that I certainly could not answer. But everything that we do would be, after y'all, of course, have looked at this, Mr. Swain's looked at it, Mr. Ruggs looked at it and said this is, everybody in your maintenance shop has looked at it and said this is something you might want to think about doing. It is purely cash transaction. We do not, or check transaction. We do not supply the fuel, not supply the maintenance, anything like that. It is just payment for the capacity, the ability of the county to take that much load off of our system.
Okay, so you have looked at this, Mr. Rowe. You have not? Okay. I knew that the agenda item came in rather late in the week.
Yes, sir.
And so hadn't had an opportunity. You haven't looked at it either, have you, Mr. Rail?
I can fix some of that.
Sir?
I can fix some of that right now to Mr. Rugg.
I noticed on the State Operations Center that there were several emails from the Division of Emergency Management and the governor's office this morning requesting voluntary conservation of electrical energy. So I'll just mention that for the benefit of the members of the public that are watching this, that it's important at this time of the year, particularly with the hot weather we're having and the additional demand on the resources of energy and other utilities, that everyone do their best to conserve. And well, since I have children, I spend all my time walking through the house turning off lights anyhow. But
Judge, if you don't mind, not to disagree, but to go along with what you just said, those calls for conservation have been within the state of Texas from the standpoint of ERCOT, Electric Reliability Council of Texas, And as of this moment, knock on wood, don't ever make fun of your competitors, but we are not in that position.
Right.
Now, said that, we always suggest that you do conserve, make sure the electric bill is not as bad a surprise at the end of the month as it could be. Of course, we apologize for it coming up late, and can always come back at a later date. Did want to try to do y'all as an opportunity to please talk about it and have y'all think about it. No pressure. We're doing this ourselves on some of our equipment, and an opportunity. If you have the generator, if you have to run it every week or so to test run it, possibility partnering with us on that. Some of those costs could be. There is a minimum demand that we would ask. That would be at least 250 kW. So your size of generators would be 250 at the bare minimum, mostly large. There were other opportunities that the county would think about. We could also.
That sounds. And I think that we will probably be interested in it, and we're certainly appreciative of you bringing it to the court's attention, this opportunity to not only maybe assist you, but also to make sure that our generator's in good shape when it, if in the event we do have a natural disaster that requires its use. So just because it came in so late in the week, and I was just able to scan the contract a little bit, I'd like to have Mr. Rayo and Mr. Rugg look at it, and then we can put it back on the agenda for next Monday. So if you'll just make sure it gets back on there, Ms. George. Oh, pardon me. It'll be Monday a week because we're not meeting the week of July 4th, or at least that's the suggestion so far. We'll decide that here in a minute.
Thank you, sir.
4th, we won't figure that,
but. Thank you. Okay, moving on to County Auditor. Item A is to consider and approve out-of-state travel for Judge Arun and Judge Gillum to attend Forensic Medical Investigation Institute in Kansas City, Missouri from August 23rd to 26th of 2011, and they did submit their information showing that that was not available locally and answering the required questions. Item B is to consider an approved budget transfer for Road and Bridge Precinct 2 for the purchase of Broche CR350 broom replacements. Item C is to consider an approved budget amendment for general services, additional costs for termination allowances, and FICA and employee retirement costs associated with those termination allowances. And are we seeing the last of it yet, Mr. Swain? Item D is consider and approve a budget transfer for 257 district court additional costs for postage. Item E is to consider and approve a budget amendment for Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 and 8. Those are items E and F, an amount of $1,400 for travel for their Judge Gillum and Judge DeRuin's attendance at the Forensic Medical Institute. Item G is to consider and approve a budget amendment for the Sheriff's Department for the replacement of a wrecked vehicle in the amount of $21,928. Item H is to consider and approve a budget transfer to the airport for the cleaning of three jet fuel tanks in the amount of $6,500. Item I is to consider and approve a budget amendment for the service center for additional costs due to increased fuel prices in the amount of $100,000. Item J is regular county bills, check numbers 354681 through 354985. Do I have a motion on those items?
I got a second. Judge, I got a question. On this sheriff vehicle was it? What accident? Do we have any of that information?
I think it was not our fault, and we're supposed to get some money back on that. Isn't that correct, Mr. Swain? Sheriff, you remember?
Okay.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Senegal and seconded by Commissioner Alford. Is there any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Those items passed unanimously. Under engineering, item A is considering possibly improving, engaging Mr. J. Thad Hartfield of the Hartfield Law Firm to assist county in handling condemnation proceedings for parcel number 27 LaBelle Road right of way. Mr. Judd Adams, fees and expenses will not exceed $20,000. That's for the Front Road extension and LaBelle Road. Do we have a motion on that item?
Judge, I'll move.
Moved by Commissioner Alford and seconded by Commissioner Senegal.
And before we vote on that, I want to make sure that the court know that we have kind of done everything we have been able to do to try to bring this particular land onto the table to look at what we're trying to do. It is to better the individuals that live down towards LaBelle, Finette Way for extension project that's been on the books quite a while now. It will benefit the citizens and an evacuation route and several other things for the parts of Precinct 4, Precinct 2, and Precinct 3 to a great degree. So it's something that we haven't taken lightly. We have been in touch with him. And I want to thank Don and his staff for doing what they have done to try to get him to the table. And we're at the point we can't do anything else.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item passes unanimously. Under human resources, we've got item A to consider and possibly approve salary amendment for the Jack Brooks Regional Airport. And item B is to consider and possibly approve emergency closing policy amendments. Do we have a motion on those items?
Yeah, let's take them one at a time. Let's take the A by itself. Let's have some discussion with Carrie to come up to the mic.
Sir.
We got a motion and second on this?
I motion.
I second.
Carrie, you need to give us an update on this to a great degree. Some concerns have arisen, so give us an update. Why are we doing it now and why not at budget?
Basically, we've got what I feel is an unusual circumstance, Commissioner. In this particular case, what we have is a situation where due to, as I understand it, and Hal or Commissioner, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, we have the airport is a, I think they call it a Part 139 airport. We have to have a fire chief in place in order to continue operating under FAA rule. And at this point, due to certain personnel matters, that position is vacant. It's vacant in that one person was demoted to a fuel service lineman firefighter. We have to make a promotion from an internal promotion. In other words, we can't go outside and find anybody different. And the best way to resolve this particular situation, I think, is the manner that's described in this memo, where we make some slight budget adjustment, end up with some estimated cost savings overall, and still able to fill that fire chief position. It's the best solution I've seen, and we've had a lot of discussions with Hal and Commissioner about it. I mean, we've tried to be innovative about it. I don't know of any other way to do it at this point in time.
Hal, you know, he just said something about we have to fill the position, and we have to fill it from within. Where does that law come into effect on this county? That's what he just said.
Let me just say this. As far as the filling from within, it's because we truly don't have a vacant position. It's going to have to be a shuffling internally in order to make that happen. We only have so many positions.
But I think what wasn't mentioned that's mentioned in that memo, which I read the other day, is that because of the hours that the firefighters work, they actually make as much or more money than the chief. I think more money than the chief. So you don't have people wanting to take the position because it's a pay cut to take the increased responsibility.
Because of the schedules they have to work, the 24-hour schedules, there's a guaranteed overtime, if you will.
You know, Patrick kind of mentioned that to me, and I'm trying to figure out, is a full staff, right, Harold?
Let me know when you want me to talk.
Is it a full staff? You have a full staff of firefighters?
We have a staff of firefighters that allows us to maintain the index rating for Part 139 certificated airport, which is an airport that has commercial air service.
So you have
automatic. We do not have any extra fire people.
You have automatically overtime or automatic extra hours built in for firefighters. Is that what I'm understanding?
No.
Missing it then.
What the situation is under Texas law, firemen are allowed to work 57-hour weeks before they become subject to overtime, time and a half overtime, premium overtime pay. And that's based on the practice of firemen working 24 hours and off 48 hours. So we mirror, I think, what most every fire department does, but what that does is result in our firemen working 57-hour weeks, or the equivalent, 214-hour months or 57-hour weeks. So that's how it's set up. So if you look at the hourly pay every year, their salary is based on that number of hours, where the chief's salary is based on 2,080 hours a year, which is the normal. So yes, there is a salary disparity just based on the amount of hours. Now, occasionally, we do have some premium overtime on top of that the firemen get because of unexpected illnesses and Kelly days or personal leave, that kind of stuff.
Let me add a few comments to this. I had some discussions with Jerome and Carrie about this. They brought me up to date of this pay disparity. And the opportunity just presents itself with this whole situation. The situation was dealt with, but we use this as an opportunity to correct the problem as I was presented with it as far as the disparity in the salary. The bottom line is the budget is decreased. It's reduced. And I'm not through yet. After budget hearings, it's going to get reduced some more probably. So we're on that slope of decreasing that airport budget. And this is just, you know, one bite at the apple.
My concern, Judge, but Carrie, is if we're reducing the budget, Commissioner, all due respect, my concern is quality and getting what we're paying for. I understand reducing the budget. If we're having trouble finding an airport, what do we look for, a manager?
Fire chief.
Fire chief, okay. Reducing the budget, so when we hire the airport manager, the chief will already be hired, right?
Yes.
When we reduce this budget, who's going to take that position? Do we have someone, applicants, or you say we're having trouble finding someone in-house?
No.
What's
no,
what
the
we'd
fire
be looking
chief, not for the airport.
Right. So what
we're looking at is an internal promotion, yes, sir.
Yes.
So there's someone waiting to take that position.
That has the certifications, as I understand it, has all the necessary certifications to work in that capacity. Is that correct, Hal?
In addition to being a structural firefighter, this person also has to be Airport Rescue Firefighter. So he has to be trained on that. He also has to be trained on the use of airfield radio so that he can talk to the tower and the aircraft if necessary. He also has to have a knowledge of fueling operations. So I don't think it's totally accurate to say we can't go outside and get this person, but we can't go outside and get this person anytime soon.
Yeah.
And if we had to go outside and get this person, we'd have to go outside this community to find that person.
Right. And my concern is not that we go outside. I mean, I'm not emphasizing. It's just I was told that we had to have someone in place by July 1st. Is that correct?
That is my plan. And the reason it's
my plan is because it is directly connected with, there will be a vacancy in that spot July 1st.
Right.
And we should not try to operate without a fire chief. And that's where the July 1st came from. But there will be a vacancy in that spot July 1st.
And I appreciate Commissioner's concern and you know, about the budget and reducing it. I would support putting this person interim until we get through the budget process. If we have to have someone in place, we make this guy interim. We go through the budget process, and if we vote him to be permanent, we do it after the budget process. What is the problem in that?
Well, potentially two problems. One is I'm not sure where we would find the funds for an interim position unless we do this anyway. Secondly, you know, the employee has a choice in the matter as well, and I'm not sure that I have that degree of latitude. I don't know. I can't tell you I do or I don't.
Yeah. I mean,
have y'all consulted the attorney over here on this thing?
The answer, Commissioner, is I haven't consulted me with it, but I think I understand where we are. There seems to be a misperception that we have a vacant position. We don't have a vacant position. We have a fire chief who's being demoted as a disciplinary action. And so we don't have any empty positions in the budget. What we've got is a person who's qualified to assume the chief's position is not willing to do that under the current salary structure. And so unless you restructure, either A, you don't administer the discipline that in my judgment ought to be administered, or you operate without a chief. So I'm really not sure. I mean, I think they've come up with a solution to the problem. But if you make it just on a temporary basis, in some sort of a special sense, I think all of us understand we're temporary when we come up to the budget process. But if you do it on a temporary basis, I think what Mr. Ross is saying is it is he doesn't have a commitment from the person who will assume the chief's duties to do it if it's just going to be for a temporary basis.
And I understand that, Mr. Rugg, and in the effort to try and understand this thing wholly, I just heard about it less than an hour ago, and well, I totally agree with reducing the budget by that. Mr. Ross said he didn't know where the money would come from. It would come from the same place we're going to get it from when we make this move. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying I'm objecting to it. I just want all the answers and information. So well, when we do this and for me to support it, I understand.
I don't know that we're looking for any money. Money's there. We're just reorganizing, reducing the budget, reallocating it, and making the adjustment.
Let me ask a question. We already have gone through this about the firemen being required or needed out there for so many hours. You're going to make one of those firemen or offer that one of the firemen to be promoted to fire chief, which will put him in a different category. The person that was in that job has been demoted, so to another a position that wasn't vacant. So you've created a position for that person.
No,
they're
just swapping. Think of it that way. They're just swapping.
Well,
okay,
actually,
let me finish my situation here. So after the dust settles, you've got a new chief, but aren't you short one fireman?
Nope.
Okay, so you're still going to have the same number of firemen. Even though the person has taken the job, he is now a groundskeeper?
No. Different commissioners, different agenda.
Different situation.
Well, I don't understand. How many firemen do you have right now?
I have 2, 4, 6, 7. 7 firemen and 1 chief.
Okay.
So I've got 8 players. When I get through, there'll be 8 players.
Yeah, no anchor. Just swapping chairs. That's all.
So you're not going to come back at budget and ask for another fireman, is what I'm asking?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, this is just the disciplinary action and this action are really two separate issues. I mean, this is just a budget modification, really. I mean, it may have been in part necessitated by the disciplinary issue, but this is just a budgetary issue.
It really needed to be dealt with.
So is your chief going to actually continue to be
that done presently than already passed?
Are you asking
me? Was the chief an acting fireman as well as
yes.
taking the administrative role?
Yes. Not only he's an active fireman, but he's not a supervisor. He's not a captain. Okay. He came from